It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today.
DSW, let us surprise you.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
GONJones.com/audio for all the best clips and moments from the show here in case you missed it or want to hear it again once we are done. And Liguori's on the program this hour, checking in on day two of the PGA Championship. AJ Hawk in our final hour. Let us begin with Zach Randolph. Now, was it me and you recently just talking about the Kings and the good offseason, including Zach Randolph,
no.
and you forgot Zach's strip club trip during his grandmother's funeral?
Maybe. Hell, I don't know.
So Zach, either way, had himself...
What's wrong with him going to strip club after his grandma's funeral?
Yeah, it was you, because that's what you said when it came up the first
time. People grieve in different ways.
Yep, you're quoting yourself now verbatim. Even your facial expression is the same.
Hey, whatever it takes, right? To get right again.
Yeah, get himself right. If it takes ginger, it takes ginger.
Yeah.
So Zach has
What's
himself...
What's wrong, baby? Oh, baby, I just went to my grandma's funeral. Oh, baby, let me cheer you up a little bit.
Okay. All right, if you insist.
It's going to cost you, though.
Yeah. One less dollar. I'll give you a discount. Something that I think you own is playing noise, or is it mine? That might have been mine. All right, so Zach Randolph is in the news for the wrong reasons again this morning because he was arrested Wednesday night into Thursday in Los Angeles. One of multiple people arrested. The quick details are police, regular routine, driving around, saw a group of people drinking, smoking weed, playing loud music. They had blocked off a street.
Block party!
I guess, but without the correct permits and maybe
permit?
Ignoring
knew?
Local ordinances. So police wanted the group to disperse. Group got upset. Apparently bottles were thrown. Cruiser tires were slashed. And Zach Randolph got arrested. And among the charges, felony charge of marijuana possession with the intent to sell. So here we are with Zach Randolph. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, Nickerson Gardens is the area where they were in South Central LA, and that's a well-known place, at least back when I was living in California, living in LA, going to UCLA, and even after that. We didn't venture into that territory too often, between Compton, Gardena. Rough spot, but he's hanging out with boys, they're chilling, having a little block party, they're drinking, they're smoking, playing dominoes, playing loud music, all that good stuff. Now, the intent to sell, the reason they're saying it's intent to sell is because of the quantity.
Right.
The quantity was 2 pounds.
Yeah.
That won't last a week in an NBA player's home. 2 pounds, man. That's not intent to sell. That's intent to smoke by myself. I'm an NBA player.
Intent on vacation.
Right. Yeah. What do you mean intent? I ain't selling. I don't need to sell. This is not Nate Newton. This is not, what's my man, Bam, played at Texas Tech. Bam Morris. Remember he got called with
no,
all the
No, I don't remember that one.
Yeah, former Steelers running back. And Nate had
Hook'em.
No, that's not Hook'em, man. You crazy? Nate had, 200 pounds? Or maybe even more.
Van
Nate Newton.
Full.
Right.
He had a retrofitted van.
Nate Newton had 200, 300 pounds.
Yeah,
that's intent to sell.
Uh-huh.
2 pounds is not intent to sell. Really? That's crazy. That's a dumb law. They're saying that's intent to sell 2 pounds. Whatever. And that's an NBA player. You smoke that in a day.
And I'm wondering why what apparently seemed to be a very, 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 very small scale riot with bottles being thrown and more people coming out when the police showed up and cars being damaged. How only two men and one of them being Zach Randolph ended up getting arrested. Was he holding the weed and flaunting
right.
it?
Yeah.
Did they see him throw a bottle? So, I mean, there's still a lot of things here to be figured out. And the most important thing, I guess, for now, or just to keep in mind, the intent to sell things sounds bad.
Yeah.
But sometimes that's just a math thing. And there's so much weed that it just triggers automatic charges.
We have draconian laws on the books as far as drugs are concerned. And that's something our previous president tried to amend. And now our current attorney general is trying to go back to the old laws. I mean, it's just ridiculous. 2 pounds. This cat smoked. They smoked that on a cross-country trip to play a game.
Now, how much do you think I'm bringing to Jersey Shore this weekend?
Yeah.
I'm going to be there for 7 nights.
Exactly, seven nights.
My parents and my mother-in-law.
That's intent for you to get smoked out so you don't have to talk
survive.
To you.
Yeah. It's called Darwinism. I got to keep myself afloat.
That's called checking out.
Yeah. When the cops pull me over and I explain what's going on, they go, you don't have enough. Hold on. We just took some from somebody. I can get... You just signed this requisition form?
Right. I said, we confiscated this. We're going to give it to you. Here you go.
We, of course, reserve the right to take this seriously if new details emerge.
Yeah.
But this...
2 pounds.
I'm not going
to... I ain't selling my 2 pounds. I just got the 2 pounds.
Anywhere else going to tell you that this is nonsense because 2 pounds of weed's not that much?
No. They're going to be like, oh, Zach Randolph. Arrested. Oh, he's
weed
in big trouble.
Kingpin, yeah. Zach Randolph.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The Pablo Escobar, the NBA. Yeah. 2 pounds. We had guys bringing that on the plane back from games in San Francisco back in the day.
Drug cartel started by NBA star broken up in Los Angeles yesterday. Now, Mikey B's take was he couldn't imagine that Zach Randolph needed to sell weed.
Right.
Because he plays in the NBA. Now, I wouldn't just automatically disqualify that as a general thought.
Right.
Dude just might sell weed for the fun of it.
Yeah, I didn't think Nate Newton had to do it. There have been other players who've been involved in the drug game as distributors, but 2 pounds? Come on. I'm going to throw that out of court.
And apparently Zach...
I'm gonna waste my time with this.
I had at least one other previous marijuana incident. I guess police had searched his house after a marijuana dealer was beaten up. I don't remember all the details if they thought
hey,
that.
Hey, man, this is a little light. This ain't 2 pounds.
I said two pounds. I'm Zach Randolph.
So he beat him because he didn't bring enough weed to the house.
Yeah,
now, that situation, we got an issue. Hey, right. Man, I ordered 4 pounds. What the rest of my smoke?
Let's continue with a little law and order here. I don't know if you saw this. But according to TMZ Sports, police in Virginia have found the man who said he was Lucky Whitehead.
Okay, great.
And now here's the thing. Now their explanation, the police, it was at Prince Edward County in Virginia or Maryland, wherever it was, said that this guy knew Lucky Whitehead's name and social and whatever. Okay, fine. But that he looked like him, so that's why they didn't ever, not believe him. Here's a side-by-side picture that maybe times have changed, but they look nothing alike.
Wow.
I mean, the one dude looks a little bit like John Legend, I guess, a little bit. I don't know.
And yeah, then, I can see that.
And he's got a huge tattoo right across the front of his neck. Lucky Whitehead's
alike.
Got dreads and no tattoo.
How
and
the hell?
Look nothing
welcome
alike.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah,
he fits the description. Those guys do not look alike.
I shouldn't have mentioned this. I'm sorry.
Oh,
Pete,
I'm glad you mentioned it.
Half of America.
Yeah, the ones that don't believe in our plight. They do not look alike.
Yeah, they don't look anything alike.
He does not fit the description. That's ridiculous.
Unless this gentleman, because the one picture they have here is not from yesterday, because he hasn't been taken into custody yet, unless he's grown dreads. There's nothing to put them together. I mean, there's nothing. And the huge tattoo that says, I'm not Lucky Whitehead on his throat. I mean, that really should have been a good clue.
I guess they didn't go below the chin. They just looked from chin up. from chin up, they resemble each other. What about that tattoo below the chin? We didn't look below the chin.
We ignored that. Anyone could have that. So this is Davon Newman. If you know who Davon Newman is.
Davon.
And they've also apparently amended. Didn't we think that he took like almost $200 worth of stuff from this store?
Yes.
And people couldn't figure out what he was stealing from a Wawa because everything cost $350.
This now he stole the whole Wawa.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to. Like, they steal the soda machine, not a drink.
Don't mind me carrying this big gulp machine out of here.
It's really thirsty. This now says that he stole only $40 worth of stuff. Which is much more interesting. I mean, that's you can do.
I think maybe you automatically get a fine of $200, and that's how it should be interpreted.
Interpret who?
Your statement is incongruous with the facts.
No, for reals.
Yes!
Wait!
I got a funny fist bump.
Wait! Interpretated.
Yeah. Interpreted. Sorry.
Thank you. Incongruent with. Yeah. I love
it's
that.
It's incongruous, Mike. Okay, incongruous. Yeah, all right,
so,
close enough.
Anything over a certain amount.
I think you automatically get fined the $200 because it would be impossible to leave a store with $200 in value from there. It's just
but
impossible.
Even $40 worth of stuff.
At least it's possible.
No, you could.
What are you stealing?
You could get the $40 between like a six, because they sell beer, so you could steal some liquor and like a sandwich and a bag of chips. You could get the $40 easily. And I would think you could get to $200. You just need a wheelbarrow to take things out of the store. You couldn't put it like underneath your
$40, you're going to need a wheelbarrow. Beer? How much does damn beer cost in the Wawa?
Well, if you got like a six pack.
Okay, a six pack, you can see a six pack. Where are you going to hide that? Where are you going to hide
the six pack? Behind my back, and I walk
okay,
out
so
backwards.
Six pack, let's say what? How much is six pack? $12?
Sure.
If
$12, if that. Okay, so we have $28 to go.
You get a sandwich, that's $8.
Damn, sandwich costs $8 at the Wawa?
Yeah, you can get a big, like, foot-long hoagie at Wawa.
Okay, so $8, so we got $12 to go, or $20 to go.
Yeah.
Stack of honey buns.
They do sell.
Another $5.
Yeah, they sell, like, chargers and stuff like that. So there could be, like, a small electronic thing. You throw a fidget spinner in there, that's another $4 or $5.
Get some batteries.
A gift card.
But you got to activate the gift card. So you can't.
I stole this gift card for you, but don't use it.
I'm back on interpreted. That wasn't one of your I did it for content things?
Like, no, that was one of those I said the word wrong.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah, it does.
A55 again, and this is a person, by the way, that got invited to a Met game before me by 18 hours. We can't give you all the details. They will, though, be included as bonus material on the Geo and Jones season 3 DVD. But right now, I can't give you all the background.
Yeah.
But we did do more investigating on ACTgate yesterday and found out that I was asked after more than just Mike.
Yeah.
And like 18 hours, Mike went close to the top, and then I was one of the last people asked to go to a Met game the other day by Rich Ackerman. So the moral of the story is, Ack hears me when I'm mean to him in the newsroom.
But he still asked you though,
because he was looking for somebody.
The moral
at
of
that
story
point,
is,
he would take anything.
The moral of the story is Ack needs 2 pounds. That's what he needs. That's the moral of the story. And Snack Food Jake, one of our consistent listeners.
Yeah.
At Jake Wayne 92 has a good one. 2 pounds ain't intent to sale. It's intent to Tuesday. Oh, you win, baby.
Yeah.
That's right. Intent to Tuesday. That's it. Come on. Intent to sale.
So
draconian drug laws.
As Marco Belletti mentioned in his last update, we'll sure mention in his next one coming up after our next time out, which also will include a chat with the legendary Ann Liguori. The Rockets and Knicks have once again restarted Carmelo Anthony trades. Can we just figure out how to get? Can we like waive the NBA salary cap rules so that we don't need to include Ryan Anderson to make this money line up? Can we just get this over with? Can the commissioner just come in? Remember when David Stern didn't let Chris Paul get traded out of New Orleans? Can he just let this one happen so we can move on and we can stop, you know, forsaking Ryan Anderson's paperwork that's holding this all? But just put Melo in Houston and let's just move on. Because I've had enough.
You done with it?
Yeah, I'm done with it. Like, I'm over this. He needs to be a Rocket. He needs to not be a Knick. He won his staring contest with Phil Jackson. put them in Houston, make this their new mega team, and let's go from here.
Well, they've got to go about it the right way. And, you know, you got to dot the I's, cross the T's. And they feel like you feel, and like a lot of Knicks fans feel, or they wouldn't even be entertaining making this deal. So the fact that they're back at the table and trying to iron it out, maybe this time they make some headway and they get it done. I'm tired of talking about it as well.
Yeah.
Because it's football season. And it's baseball postseason. Hell with the NBA.
All right, well, one last NBA thing.
Oh, see, there you go.
Because I'm starting to think that the Cavaliers should want to trade Kyrie Irving as opposed to Kyrie Irving want to be traded off of the Cavaliers, because there's a new report now that Kyrie, in between, was it rounds 1 and 2 or 2 and 3 the playoffs, when they had a couple of extra days off, that he went for 2 days through practice and meetings without saying a word to his teammates. It can't be that bad, Kyrie.
No way you can go 2 days without talking to your teammates.
I mean, and if you are, dude, grip.
During the playoffs, you're telling me he didn't say a word to his teammates. That's bunk. You can find footage of the game where he has to talk to his teammates.
Well, that's different.
What are you saying? He didn't have any interaction with them outside the facility? In practice, he didn't talk to his teammates?
It was 2 off days, so it was, you know, it was no game days. They were practicing. They were around each other, and he was just giving everybody the silent treatment. He was just pouting.
Was he pouting because they're getting their asses kicked?
No, they had won the previous run. They're moving on to the second one. The gap was between series, so they were just killing time, and he was in a hissy fit. And apparently, you know, part of that is important because we thought the timeline began to a certain extent with him being included in trade rumors. So this kind of would predate that, and goes more lines of, like, you know, feeling overshadowed by LeBron. Charles Barkley weighed in on this earlier in the week, and said, like, what I've been saying, I don't get it. Like, deal with it. Like, you don't pass up playing with LeBron.
Right.
You just don't. And as Charles mentioned, which completely escaped my mind, Kyrie was the guy before LeBron in Cleveland,
right,
and it sucked.
We've been saying that. We said that when the story first surfaced. You and I sat right here and said that. Dude, you had a chance to be the man. You were the man when there was no LeBron. What, 3 years without LeBron? First 3 years, no LeBron. What did it get you? Nothing. Not a damn thing.
Nope.
So why are you whining now? You've been the man. You were it.
And
how'd it go?
Being number two in Cleveland's pretty cool. And no one, I mean, the one thing Kyrie Irving is not is underrated. I mean, he might be the best individual player in the NBA.
Well, and that's why it's disheartening to hear. Disheartening. Not like I really give a damn. But David Griffin, the former GM, to come out and say Kyrie did the right thing and this was courageous of him. He was the man. He's trying to find himself. He was the man. And I know he's a different man when you're entering in the league after just 1 year of college ball, but you had a chance to be that guy. You need help in this league. And if you go somewhere else and you have any type of success, there's going to be at least one other superstar there, if not two other, because that's what you need in today's NBA, at least two or three, and you need it in the past as well. It's not just one guy. Michael Jordan didn't do it all by himself. Magic didn't do it all by himself. No one's going to do it all by himself. Steph Curry hasn't done it all by himself. Durant couldn't do it all by himself. You need some help. It's just that is mystifying that you would feel that way. What the hell else do you need? You're getting your milk parties reported on.
Yeah, dude.
You're getting this reported on, that reported on. You're showing up in the postseason. What else do you need? What type of attention do you need?
Call up Zach Randolph. Oh, actually, don't call Zach. Lay low for a little bit. Like in 72 hours, call Zach, buy some weed, relax, think things over.
That is too funny. Intent to Tuesday.
We'll get the latest on weed from Ann Liguori, plus some golf. It's round 2 of the PGA Championship
swing
in
now.
Charlotte. Dude, that ball went far.
Dude, which
is this
we
Bermuda
are?
Rough? What kind of rough they got in Baltusrol? I don't know, Brian.
Can you smoke this, dude? Hey, dude, put that in the bag.
This is not the same grass, right? Isn't that what they mean by that? Ann Liguori, a Marco Belletti update, and a missing cat. because this is Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Listen to Tiki and Tierney weekdays between 3 and 6 Eastern for your chance to win Guns N' Roses tickets right here on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, there's
There's no argument
at all.
And his excuse was my hand was on her ribs and it slipped down to her behind.
It might have slipped down. Might have.
That's ridiculous.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, because I didn't know what we were talking about until about 90 seconds ago, I guess there's a lawsuit going on because Taylor Swift, the singer, says that a man, a DJ.
Right, former DJ.
Posing for a picture at some event, reached up behind her, up her skirt, and grabbed her backside.
Yeah. And she didn't want this photo admitted on the grounds it would prejudice the potential jury. This proves your point, Taylor Swift. What are you talking about? How does this prejudice anything? The guy clearly has his hand on your bum.
But then there's a courtroom sketch that looks...
I haven't seen the courtroom sketch.
It's all right. I mean, it's not a great depiction, but it's not as crazy and horrific looking as the one of Tom Brady.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't bore.
And let's say, is the DJ that's actually suing Taylor Swift?
Right.
She's countersuing.
Excuse me. Okay.
She's countersuing for a dollar because she said it's not about the money. She just wants to expose him for what he did.
Yeah. What is he suing her for?
For getting fired. He wants. Because she didn't actually technically get fired, but she complained about it, and then they fired him. So he wants money in, you know, for the loss of whatever.
Where else could his hand be?
I mean, unless that's not where her butt is, then that's where
his
hand is.
What the hell would it be?
Is.
Was her butt not placed where normal butt is?
That's why it was funny.
Unless there's some sort of like George Costanza issue with like your elbow, you put your hand on somebody's ribs and it might have slipped down. Do you not have control of your arm?
Her dress was so silky smooth that my hand just slid down the
back.
And
then it suction cupped right there.
I mean, come on.
It just stayed.
I know. All right.
That's a horrible excuse. How does that... They haven't thrown this out of court yet.
Again, might have slipped down, but then, you know, I didn't feel like moving it.
I'm going to use that one.
It was in a good spot.
I can't control it. It just has a mind of its own. It just the left I can control. The right one, it just does whatever it wants. I'm sorry.
My bad.
Yeah.
It's sports update time. Here's Marco Belletti.
All right, NFL preseason has begun. A couple of rookie quarterbacks came out of the gates well. DeShone Kizer threw for a 184 and a touchdown, helped the Browns finish off the Saints 20-14. But rookie understands long way to go before he can cement his place as an NFL starter.
This whole process, you know, the goal is to gain confidence in everything we're doing. There's a reason that we're still in training camp after preseason game one. It's because, you know, I'm still in a developmental stage of my career. We're going to be able to go back now and watch this film and learn how to watch film in the NFL against an NFL opponent. And I'm really looking forward to that.
Meanwhile, Broncos took out the Bears 24-17. But after Mike Glennon underwhelmed at 2-for-8 and 20 yards, second overall pick Mitchell Trubisky looked impressive. 18-25, 166 yards, and a touchdown to newcomer Victor Cruz. But he was quick to say no quarterback controversy here.
Mike's the starter. This is his team. I was just able to get a lot of reps tonight, and there's things in that film that we could all learn from each other's reps, and it's all about just getting better.
All right, switching to baseball, some notable games in the bigs. Dodgers are now 81-33 after they beat the Diamondbacks 8-6. Yu Darvish's second win in as many starts since being acquired. He fanned 10 over 5 innings. Blue Jays blank the Yankees 4-0. Bombers have lost 6 of 9. They fall 4.5 game behind the Red Sox in the East. Cardinals up their win streak to 6, bounce the Royals 8-6. The Redbirds now within 1 game of the Cubs in the Central. Pirates are only 3 back after they disposed of the Tigers 7-5, and the Twins won their 5th straight. They dumped the Brewers 7-2. Zach Randolph in all kinds of hot water, arrested on a felony charge of marijuana possession with the intent to sell. Reportedly found with 2 pounds of marijuana. He was released on $20,000 bail. Court date is set for August 31st. Rockets and Knicks reportedly talking again about a Carmelo Anthony deal, and they're trying to look for that third team to help with the trade there. And the league put out their Christmas Day schedule, third straight year, highlighted by the finals rematch, Warriors taking on the Cavs. Also on the docket, Celtics host the Wizards, Rockets and Thunder, T-Wolves and Lakers in L.A., and of course the day begins at the Garden with the Knicks welcoming in the Sixers. Andrew?
And the Garden. Cause you know I'm your biggest fan. This home team's hurting and something's just not right. And you're the only lady who understands this man. Said I love to turn you on. It's the glory.
Didn't realize my mic was on there while I was dancing and humming along. It is day two of the PGA Championship at Quail Hollow. Some interesting names atop the leaderboard. There's a lot to discuss after day one. I was asked to do this myself today after using Greg's voice on tape. So here we go. Here she is. In 3-2 and 1, it's Ann LaGorie. Hey, Ann. It's Andrew and Brian. What's going on?
Yesterday, I thought that was you yesterday.
No.
That was so weak, but I'm glad you stopped. I'm glad he stopped, Ann, because it looked like he's about to have a stroke.
That was weak, I must say. That was the worst effort I've ever heard anyone introduce me on the planet, Andrew.
Well,
thank you very much.
I'm sorry to let you down, Anna. That's not.
Especially after yesterday, you faked me out. I thought you were like imitating the great.
His name is Greg. I thought it was so good.
Welcome to my world.
I didn't want to, degrade Greg's performance, but I did today.
You didn't even try. You didn't even put in the effort.
I did. I thought it was funny to then do the quick LaGorie.
He put in the effort, then he quickly quit. That's what happened. You don't quit on Ann LaGorie, man. What's wrong with you?
Never quit on me, baby.
You follow through. Okay,
Brian knows what that's all about.
No, but he's quit on you. He's been.
I have not.
Yeah, you've been spooked by the actual Mr. LaGorie. You've calmed yourself down out of respect.
I let situations breathe. That's what I do.
Oh, all right? You're playing hard to get.
Invite to Austin, so I'm still waiting for the letter in the mail to arrive.
I told you, I'm firing assistant. I told you yesterday, pack up your and get out. Yeah.
But I'm still waiting for the invite.
So, Ann, what do we know about Thorbjørn Olesen?
Oh, well, okay. Which is a good start.
Yes. Thorbjørn. I can really
he won a couple PGA European Tour events. His last title was the 2016 Turkish Airlines Open. He's done okay. I mean, in the 2013 Masters, he was tied for sixth. In the 2012 Open Championship, he tied for ninth. He's just playing really well. Do I expect him to be around this weekend? No, but,
So he's gonna go the same route as Bogus trying to do your intro, right?
Exactly. Now if he got the invite to Austin.
I love that. You always have Thursday, Thorbjørn.
Yeah.
That's a good title for a book. You always have Thursday.
I want is Thursday, and I'll just take one day a week, okay?
One day. Hey, listen, this was for him and Kisner, obviously the first time for both that they've ever had a lead or a share of the lead in a major. And, they could surprise us. I mean, Kisner loves playing on Bermuda. He's from South Carolina. He's used to Bermuda. He's the co-leader with Olesen at 400. They both shot 467s, and they both birdied that last hole in only eight guys birdied that hole, the 18th, in the whole field yesterday. So, it will be interesting. I love seeing guys that aren't used to being up there in a major championship have a shot.
Well, so there are a lot of names. I mean, Grayson Murray, Gary Woodland, and I know you follow the tour much more intently than we do. Chris Stroud, the names here, Brooks Koepka, we talked about him yesterday. He's up there tied for third, but all these other names, they're foreign to us.
Yeah, I mean, Grayson Murray, he's 12th on the tour in driving distance. And his, in this course, you have to be able to crush the ball. The fairways were very soft. So even those guys who, hit long off the tee didn't get the length that they're used to because the fairways were so soft, yet the greens were so firm and hard. So it's playing really, really tough. And with no rain in the forecast until tonight, and then over the weekend, there's, a 50% chance on Saturday, thunderstorms, 60% chance on Sunday. So it'll be interesting to see how the forecast this weekend, how the rain predicted to finally come will affect this golf course, because a lot of the players yesterday were really, you know, talking about the greens, how fast they were and how tricky they are with all the undulations. So,
yeah, I think in particular the fourth hole, which is a brand new hole, and was maybe harder than guys expected yesterday.
Absolutely. Well, they all were. I mean, yeah. They're just really difficult. They have this graininess to them. And in fact, Rory McIlroy, who will start this morning, he played late in the day yesterday, and he just said the greens got so very grainy as the day went on, and it was hard for him really to read putts. And if you were a little offline, just a tad, there was no way the ball was going to go in the hole. And you'd figure somebody like Rory McIlroy, who has won on this course twice, including his very first PGA Tour victory was on this golf course, and then he broke a record the second time he won it. He said it's definitely a very different course than what he played to win those two PGA Tour events. He said the greens are very slick, and the Bermuda rough around the greens is really difficult. You can't get any spin on the ball. So not only do you have the tough greens, as you mentioned, on four and most of these on most of the holes, but you also have this Bermuda rough that's given the players a lot of trouble. So you have to be dead accurate off the tee. You don't want to get into that rough at all, or you can't have much control.
What was the downfall of Phil Mickelson?
Phil couldn't do anything right today. I mean, you know, he drove the ball into the water on seven, into the rough on eight. 10, he had a bad second shot on 15. He could not chip, and normally that's what he's so great at. He hit poor iron shots, just struggled. He just hasn't been, you know, his best. Obviously, he did not play in the U.S. Open at Erin Hills because he, attended his daughter's graduation. He missed a cut at the Open Championship. I just think mentally, he may not be 100% there. So it's certainly his plus eight yesterday was the worst score for him at a PGA Championship. And, hopefully today he'll get out there and put on a better performance. But he just didn't have it yesterday, obviously.
And we talked about Rory and Jordan Spieth yesterday as favorites this weekend, both of them at one under after round one. Anything you saw from either one of them that maybe makes you pull back a little bit on their chances to win this whole thing?
Yeah, well, both are plus one.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah.
Yeah, no worries. I mean, they're still in it, obviously. But Jordan Spieth drove the ball very well yesterday, but he said he could not have putt any worse. And he was talking about how tough the greens were as well. He said he burned the edges on a lot of putts yesterday. He said the pins are on 2.5 to 3 degree slopes. So you have to leave putts below the hole to have a shot. So you have to really know where to place the ball with those approach shots. And with all the undulation on the greens, it's very, very tough because you could be right, you could aim right for the hole and then the ball rolls down and you have a 20, 25-foot putt. So he was even as he made the turn. He started on the back. Then he bogeyed 1, 5, and 6. But then again, Mr. Resilience, he birdied 7 and 8. So he was able to make two birdies after those early bogeys. And I think, we're going to see a good performance from Jordan Spieth today. Hopefully his putting will be better. And then Rory will play Spieth plays in the afternoon. Rory plays this morning. And as I say, he has to get out there and just make putts. You know, he was driving the ball pretty well. But on holes 13, 14, and 15, he was 3 over. He had a double on the 14th. He went for the green. It's a 344-yard par 4, 14th. So you can decide if you want to, go for it. He just overcooked it with a 3-wood, turned it over, hit it in the water, and made double there. So that derailed him a little bit. But, he was 2 under through 12 holes. It looked like he was really going to do well. And then he kind of ran into trouble on 13, 14, and 15. So,
last question for you, Ann.
Around this morning.
Last question for you, and we'll let you get to the course. And as PGA setups go, where would you rank this one as far as difficulty?
It's a good question because so many of these players are saying that the greens are the toughest they've ever experienced, and you know, a lot of them are saying it's the toughest PGA Championship layout that they've played. So I would say it has to be right up there. I just think because it's so long, and also because of the tricky conditions, with the fairways being soft, you're not getting a lot of roll. And then with the greens being so firm and fast, and with a lot of undulation, it's really hard to make putts. So I think they're kind of giving them a lot of challenges all at once. So until the rain comes, I think it's going to play really, really tough.
And one last apology for letting you down with the intro.
I will forgive you, Andrew. Try to work on it for the next time.
Yes, I will also learn how to read leaderboards,
too. I expect things from you. You have a lot of talent.
Thank you,
Ann. You have a lot of potential, and I really want you to put more of an effort into it next time.
Mm. Put your back into it, boy.
Amen. And you're the best. Have a great weekend.
I love you, so I do.
I'm
giving you a hard time.
I do.
You love me?
Of course. Oh, okay. I just
had to make sure. You know, I hadn't heard it in a while.
Wow, somebody's...
I would love you to try that intro, Brian.
Well, but we already knew Brian was more of a man than me.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There you go, boy.
Andrew.
I know.
Got to put your back into it, I told you.
Take some notes.
Shamed once again. All right. And I'm going to go cry. Enjoy the golf. We'll hear you all weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon, Ann. Thanks, as always, for the time. We appreciate it.
Have a great weekend.
Ann Liguori, hear her throughout the day today, tomorrow, and Sunday, and maybe Monday with the way the forecast is for Saturday and Sunday. It is the PGA Championship live updates throughout the weekend right here from Ann on CBS Sports Radio. We need a break. When we come back, we need to talk about Ezekiel Elliott, because maybe on Monday when Greg is back, he and Brian will be breaking down a suspension for the Cowboy running back, and it may be even longer than we expected. That's next on Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I'm here.
Advance Auto Parts introduces Speed Perks. Spend $100 and get $20 off your next qualified purchase. No cards to carry, no points to keep track of, no nonsense. How about this? Did you see it? This is not on our rundown, so I don't want to stump you with it, but... did you see this little NASCAR drama this week between Kevin Harvick and Dale Jr.?
I did not.
So Kevin Harvick, and I hope it's Kevin Harvick, has a weekly show on Sirius XM NASCAR radio.
Okay.
And I don't know how it came up. I don't know if he was asked about this or what, but said to the effect that Dale Jr. has stunted NASCAR's growth because he is the sport's most popular driver, but doesn't win. He has 9 wins in 10 years. And the sport would have grown more if Dale Jr. had Jimmy Johnson's success. And Dale Jr. said those words were hurtful.
I would agree with that. He's doing analysis. I would agree with that. Dale Jr. wins the favorite driver poll each and every year. I mean, he's won like every year he's been in the sport, it seems like. He picked up the mantle from his father, who was always, it seemed like, named the favorite driver. If it wasn't him, it was Bill Elliott. Bill Elliott, Dale Earnhardt Sr., Dale Earnhardt Jr. Each and every year, he's the favorite driver. And if he had won more, not just mainly at restricted tracks, restricted plate races, yeah, the sport would have grown by leaps and bounds. I'm cool with that, and that's not a knock on Dale Jr. That's just stating the facts. Look at his record. You said 9 wins in 10 years, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, if he had... going on a winning spree like his pops or like a Jimmy Johnson, all those titles in a row, Dale Jr.'s never won the championship.
Right.
So I agree with that. And I don't think Harvick was saying that out of spite. Harvick was the guy that jumped into his father's car after his father lost his life there at Daytona. So he wouldn't take – I don't think he'd take shots at Dale Jr. He's just stating the facts. If he's the most popular driver each and every year – if he goes on a winning spree like a Jimmy Johnson, of course the sport's going to grow like crazy.
We're going to get to this with A.J. Hawk when he joins us to kick off our next hour here on Geo and Jones on CBS Sports Radio. Ezekiel Elliott, this has been going on for forever now. The latest report through Pro Football Talk is that the suspension, that he's going to get suspended. A suspension is, quote, definite, and we could get it as soon as today, if not early next week. And apparently, and this began with Elliott's camp prepping for two games, then four got floated to start this week. Now we're up to maybe as many as six games for Ezekiel Elliott.
I don't think they know what's going to happen as far as the suspension. And they're bringing up a number of different things that have occurred. The pulling down of the bra of the young lady at the Mardi Gras festival, whatever festival he was attending. That was wrong. Now there's this latest incident with punching a DJ in the face. Maybe the DJ sucked at being a DJ.
Allegedly?
Yeah. Yeah, allegedly punched the DJ in the face. And the reports that along a six-day period, there were five incidents of domestic violence with this one young lady. Over a six-day period. Five incidents? Really? Wow. But those folks there where this alleged incident took place, the prosecutors there, they said there's nothing to charge here.
Right.
So somebody has some information somebody else does not have, or someone's looking at the same information and deriving a different outcome.
And obviously, there's a big difference between two and six games in a lot of different ways. But if he ends up missing, you know,
Let me correct myself. Yeah. Dale Jr. has 26 wins over the life of his career. The last 10 years with Hendrick Motorsports,
nine,
yes.
But the jump to, you know, a month or more for Elliott now really could be season defining for the Cowboys. I mean, they're still good without him.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he's their most impactful offensive player, with all due respect to Dez Bryant. I mean, that's and Dak Prescott, obviously. I mean, that's to me how good Ezekiel Elliott is. And now, if you don't have him for September, and I want to say, you know, they open with the Giants. I think those are four NFC games, too, in that first month. And at some point, those can come back to get you when we get into tiebreakers and whatnot. The Packers are in there, too. So, you know, and it's, again, not to shift the conversation away from the more serious real topic of domestic violence and player behavior, but from our perspective, from a sports perspective, now all of a sudden we've gone from Jerry Jones saying he's not going to get suspended, there's no reason to suspend him,
right,
you know, to maybe their season starting completely differently because he's out for four, five, or six games.
And let's say he is out. Now you have Darren McFadden, who's the backup. You have Alfred Morris. And you have Ronnie Hillman, who's came in this year. So and Dak's going to have to use his legs. So you have some other guys who'll just have to step up. Alfred Morris and McFadden have been starters in this league for a while now and playing behind that offensive line. Let's see if they can open up some holes. And these guys, while they're not going to be Ezekiel Elliott, they do have some history of playing well at times. At least Morris does for Washington. McFadden stayed hurt, it seemed like, his entire career there at Oakland. So they're going to have to find a way to get it done without Zeke if this is the case, and there's going to be an extended absence for the running back.
Giants at Broncos, at Cardinals, home for the Rams, home for the Packers, at the Niners. Those are the first six games of the season for the Dallas Cowboys. So the divisional battle to begin with, the team that beat him twice last year from the Giants, a tough road game.
On the other team to beat him, the Packers.
Yeah, two tough road games in a row, then the Rams, then the Packers, and then at San Francisco, which is really the only breathing room in that opening stretch, which now may all not include Ezekiel Elliott. NFL football, college football talk with A.J. Hawk, former Packer now at SiriusXM College Football Radio. We'll join him, or he'll join us, rather, next on Geo and Jones.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy.
Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame, how will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.